and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show with no Stephanie Miller. I have no idea where she is.
Okay.
She is late once again.
Fantastic.
And Hal's not here because he had something else to do.
Oh, great.
But we do have an awesome show on tap for today. We are all guested up. Ted Boutros Jr., a lawyer for the two same-sex couples who challenged Prop 8, is going to be calling in about a half an hour to talk about the Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals throwing out the gay marriage.
Different Boutros. Okay.
Different Boutros altogether. Yes. So he'll be calling in about a half an hour. Also, David Cruz, host of the David Cruz Show on our flagship here at KTLK AM 1150 here in Los Angeles. He's going to call in about an hour to talk about that really icky child molestation scandal that's going on here in Los Angeles. Yeah. It turns out yesterday they got rid of every single staff member at that school.
Because of two people.
Wow. And meanwhile, there are some really awesome teachers there that the kids just love.
And they got fired too.
Who were
suspended or whatever.
Or were shuffled around to another school.
Wow.
That just seems...
That's insane.
Yeah, that doesn't seem right to me.
Oh, well, I think they're overreacting because they failed to catch this early on.
Yeah, they're way overreacting. I think they maybe should have shut down the school for a couple of days, gone through extensive background checks of every single one of the teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And
Interview the kids.
Interview the kids, exactly. And, let the teachers back who passed the background checks.
This is just so typical. Someone comes with I keep talking about that honor student who came to school with a knife to cut her chicken.
Right.
Says, zero tolerance. It's a weapon. Zero judgment is what that means.
Exactly.
Because they're covering their asses.
Yeah, exactly. So we're going to be talking to David Cruz about that in about an hour. Gloria Allred is going to be calling in.
Wow.
Yeah, in about an hour and a half to talk about...
I feel underdressed now.
Yeah, to talk about yesterday's ruling on Prop 8. David Bender is going to be calling in hour number three to talk about Santorum sweeping every contest yesterday. Holy crap.
Romney must be in shock. Wow, I'm even more stunned looking than normal.
Well, he lost by like 20 or 30 points.
That's huge.
Yeah.
Huge.
And Ron Paul beat him, I think, in a couple of states.
Yeah.
So we're going to be talking about that with David Bender in Hour 3. Representative Judy Chu of California is going to be calling in Hour 3 as well to talk about Pete Hoekstra's racist Super Bowl ad. She's also going to be talking about the economy and the Prop 8 ruling. And finally... Director Rob Reiner.
Wow!
He's calling in at the very end of the show to talk about yesterday's Prop 8 ruling.
We can just go home. Let them drive the bus.
Well, yeah, if only we had a Stephanie Miller here.
Oh, that.
Yes.
Yeah, that would help.
Yeah. So give us a call, 1-800-STEPH-12. That's 1-800-STEPH-12. And talk to us and help us out here because we didn't plan for this part of it.
No.
I have no idea where Stephanie is.
This is great. No, I heard the theme music and said, yes, I made it. I'm on time. Uh-oh.
Yeah. No Hal, no Jim, no Stephanie. I'm like... Wow. Okay. Rebecca, get in here.
We need some of those saloon doors to be
banging. Yeah. With some old used up whore in a showgirl dress with one knee up.
Honky tonk piano.
Cigarette dangling from her lips. So what do you think about this Santorum thing?
What
does this mean?
Well, it means Republicans hate their candidates.
Yes.
I mean, they're not happy with Gingrich, they're not happy with Mitt.
Right.
The Ron Paul people must be ecstatic because he's on the radar again. It's stunning. I mean, I don't want to say it's going to be a cakewalk for Obama, but I can't imagine him debating Santorum or Mitt.
Santorum's debating skills have proven to be really awful.
Yeah.
I
think poor kids should just die if they can't pay for their meds. Great. All right, then.
Okay. Yeah, that's compassion for you.
That'll work in the general.
Yeah.
Sure.
But I'm just wondering how Santorum pulled it off. I mean, there were reports yesterday that Mitt was getting a little concerned about the Santorum surge.
I'm I'm kind of concerned. You can't tell because my hair is immovable.
But, you know, in my head, I just kind of dismissed it because I was dismissing Santorum anyway.
Well, I guess the crazies had nothing to lose.
Yeah.
Let's go out.
You know what? Let's ask political strategist David Bender about it. Hey, David, thanks for saving our ass here.
Hey, guys. They're great asses. So, you know.
Thank you.
Anytime. And speaking of asses, let's talk about Rick Santorum. You know what is amazing about this, of course, is that he had no money. He had no money at all. And when people tell you that money is driving politics, then there are moments. This is when the people go, not so much. He had a big fundraising day a week ago where he announced at $200,000. That's a rounding error
right.
for Sheldon Adelson.
Right.
and so he did all of this absolutely because people are saying, we don't want this thing to be over. We don't want Mitt Romney. Now, you were talking about Ron Paul. Ron Paul was supposed to do really well in these caucuses, all the people on the ground, all the enthusiasm, and he ran second in Minnesota.
Uh-huh.
He did. He got 27% of the vote. Romney ran third in Minnesota.
Right, right. Wow.
I mean, these numbers are staggering. They're also staggering because there were so few people. Here's the real takeaway from yesterday is that Republicans don't care. They are not the exact opposite of 2010, where all of them turned out, and that's why we got a Republican Congress. They're sitting on their hands. In each one of these states, guys, the turnout was lower, significantly lower than it was 4 years ago.
Right. So, and that's kind of in line with Nevada and pretty much every state except for South Carolina, correct?
Every state except for South Carolina, which really got pumped up by Newt Mania.
Right.
Who knew?
Newt.
Where we go now is we've got 2 weeks without anything.
Yeah.
And in a way, that's a real blessing for Rick Santorum because he can capitalize on this.
Right.
Now watch what happens. Newt's narrative was that it's just me. I'm the conservative alternative, and there's 50%+ of us. And less of Mitt. If you Mitt never hits that ceiling, unless he's the only one on the ballot.
Do you think Republicans are dispirited because the economy is actually doing better, and it's finally dawning on them that?
I think they're dispirited because they're looking at this, as Steffi likes to call it, this clown posse.
Right, insane clown posse.
When your field cumulatively and then individually is composed of these people, you are not motivated. You sort of think this is an exercise in futility, and it is a self-fulfilling prophecy. The more people are dispirited with the possibilities. That's why, remember back, it seems like 100 years ago, but it was only about, 4 or 5 months ago when Rick Perry was going to save the party.
Right.
He had everything. He had the money. He had the credentials. He'd never lost an election. He was the quintessential born-again guy.
Right.
Republicans said, we've got a savior. They like saviors.
and they
don't have one. That is the problem. Now, if this the 2 weeks from now, the next contests are Arizona and Michigan. Michigan is where obviously Romney is favored. His dad was governor of the state. You've got to think he's going to do well in Michigan. If he doesn't do well and Salt Lake City forbid, he loses Michigan, they will find somebody else. Because that will say it's just not doable. He cannot put it together. So Michigan becomes now incredibly important for him. Arizona is the other state that day, and he could well lose Arizona. Even with McCain's support. I mean, he had Pawlenty's support in Minnesota. It didn't do him any good. He had Nikki Haley's support in South Carolina. It didn't do him any good. So the establishment can't fix this. And Mitt Romney doesn't seem to be able to fix himself. And that's, you combine those two things. So here's the thing about Michigan. Yes, it is true that George Romney was governor of Michigan and in fact ran an auto company before that. This is the guy Mitt Romney, who said to Michigan, you should go bankrupt. this is the best solution. Just go Chapter 11. We're not writing you a check.
Strangely, it didn't go over well.
It did not go over well. Now, you know, I'm not sure that Rick Santorum or Newt Gingrich said anything differently, but famously Mitt Romney said this. He was the one who was asked. So we'll see how this plays out, but this is now an election. The next 2 weeks, the one thing we are going to see is there's going to be a lot more money, small dollars and maybe some big super PAC dollars going
right
into the Santorum campaign. He had the Foster Freeze guy with him last night, the guy who can write the big
yeah,
ice cream checks.
Right. The guy with the big curly Q on top.
Yeah.
I wonder how he signs his checks, with a squiggle.
And dipped in a hard chocolate shell.
Oh, there's the guy. You can cash them or eat them, whatever you like to do.
Right.
So what do you guys think? Is this good for the country, good for comedy?
It's good for comedy, and I think it's good for Obama, because mm-hmm. it just paints the Republican Party as in complete disarray
yeah.
right now. And do you think this is something that they could recover from?
Well, sure, anything is possible.
Yeah.
And the thing to remember is that, you know, you always use this phrase, and the polls are very favorable to Obama now, state by state. He's ahead in Virginia. He's ahead in Colorado. He's ahead in these swing states where he was behind 6 months ago. But the phrase, if the election were held today, is always uttered by people who don't know much about elections.
Yeah, exactly.
It's never held today.
Right.
And so we, if you look at history, yeah, this is a very good trajectory. The numbers are good. It doesn't look like the party can come together around Mitt Romney. But people wrote off John McCain as well, and then he named Sarah Palin. I was in the hall when this happened.
Mm-hmm.
And these people, 4 days earlier, had no idea who Sarah Palin was. They'd never heard of her. And they were walking around as if Kool-Aid had been poured into every cup. They fell in love with this woman, went crazy. And if you remember, for a period of time, until her first interview, I think, Sarah Palin and John McCain, Sarah Palin seemed like she had breathed new life
right.
into the Republican ticket, and they were ahead.
Yeah.
So anything can happen.
Well,
wait, even the phone can
yeah,
ring.
Okay. Oh, you know what, Dave? We got to take a break. Can you hang out for
hang out as long as you need me.
Okay.
Thanks.
Awesome. Yeah, we did hear from Stephanie. Her clock was wrong. She just woke up, and so she is on her way. So as soon as she gets here, we will start the show. But we have David Bender, and we might have John Fuglesang with us for a little bit. So. So give us a call at 1-800-STEP-12. That's 1-800-STEPH-12. This is the Stephanie Miller Show. We will be right back.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
Dressed in yellow. She says hello. Come sit next to me, you fine fellow. Without a second to lose, and what comes next? Hey, bust the move.
This is the Stephanie Miller Show. This is not Stephanie Miller. This is Chris Lavoie and Jim Ward. Stephanie is on her way. Apparently, her clock was set wrong. So she did not wake up until about 13 minutes after the hour. And we're going to be expecting her to come in very, very soon. Let's hope so. Anyway, we got David Bender on the line with us.
Was that her biological clock that was set wrong?
It was probably. You know, a dusty egg came out. It didn't make much noise. So.
Yeah, there's a small little chirping sound.
Right.
Doesn't wait. There it is.
I want to play a soundbite of Santorum last night.
I don't stand here to claim to be the conservative alternative to Mitt Romney. I stand here to be the conservative alternative to Barack Obama.
Is that something he can take to the convention in Tampa?
Sure.
Is it?
Absolutely. If he can, look, the thing that was almost impossible for Santorum to figure out was how to afford even to buy a plane ticket to keep going.
Right.
And now that is over. He will have enough money. There will be enough people who will write checks and say, this guy is credible. He has now won more states than Mitt Romney. He's won four states. Romney's only won three.
Does he have more delegates than Mitt Romney?
No.
Okay. But the delegate count, that's what counts.
It counts, except nobody has broken 100 yet. And
right.
Less than 10% is 100. It's 1,144. The numbers are, they can't even agree. This system is so screwed up, guys, that they can't even agree on how many numbers it takes to nominate.
Oh, my God.
It's either 1,114, 1,144. Part of that is because of the penalty that Florida got. And now they may actually decide to add some of those Florida delegates back in and apportion them, so Mitt Romney may not have gotten a winner-take-all in Florida.
Right.
There are all sorts of variables, but the thing we know from yesterday is that it is very much still in play. It is still alive, and what Romney did by such a poor showing, all three states, it's not so much Santorum 1, although it really does help him, but it exposes this totally vulnerable underbelly of Mitt Romney. And Republicans, if they want one thing, they agree on one thing, they want a strong challenger to Barack Obama,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't look like, that was Mitt Romney's only argument.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm that guy.
Right. Romney has been the only person I've been a little bit afraid of.
Which is, by the way, the same argument that the McCain folks had made at the beginning. You
mm-hmm.
may not like everything. And remember, McCain was sort of in the same relationship with the party. A lot of the conservatives, Rush Limbaugh, hated him. They didn't trust him. But he kept saying, I'm the guy, because in a general election, this is what you need. And the truth is, you don't beat a Democrat with someone who can draw Democratic votes. Republicans have to stand on their ridiculous principles if they're going to take it to the president. That it's got to be a choice, and that's the argument Santorum is making. He's the one who can actually contrast himself. I think the American people, at the end of the day, want that contrast, mm-hmm. and they will choose Obama.
Mm-hmm.
But this Obama light in Mitt Romney, and that's the argument they've been making effectively. Obama,
yeah.
You know, Mitt Romney put in health care in Massachusetts. Mitt Romney was pro-choice. All these things are not helping him.
So it seems like it's coming down to a war between the pragmatists and the hardline conservatives. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't even know if it's a war. Now, all of the money, and I've always said, you know, if you want to understand politics, simply go into that parking garage with Hal Holbrook and listen to him tell you to follow the money.
Right.
Follow the money.
Yeah.
It is absolutely true that all of the money is going to Mitt Romney, mm-hmm. not only his own, and he can fund himself.
Right.
He could write his own big checks, but he doesn't need to. Wall Street, which had been big for the president, is supporting him, and that'll keep him in for a long time.
Yep. Hey, David, Stephanie's not here yet. Would you mind hanging around for
a
little bit more?
Let's talk Prop 8.
What's that?
Let's talk Prop 8.
Okay, we can talk Prop 8 after the break here. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie's on her way in. It's Jim and Chris. Until then.
Stephanie Miller.
Believe me, everyone takes the easy way if they can. That's why we tell fart jokes. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
This is the Stephanie Miller Show, and this hour of the Stephanie Miller Show is brought to you by Solar World. Solar World has been making solar panels right here in America since 1975. Go to solarworld.com to find out more about the leader in American solar. My name is Chris Lavoie. This is Jim Ward.
Hello.
And David Bender is on the phone. We are waiting for Stephanie to come in. She overslept, and so she is on her way in. David. Hey there.
You know, Solar World could make clocks too. We could get them a Solar World sundial.
Yeah. Well, we know that Stephanie is famous for having a paper calendar, so we're
a sundial would work.
Yes, we were wondering if her alarm clock is a sundial.
On right now, I think this is a great new. Everything that is old is new again.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Now, we had some big news out here in California with the Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals declaring that Prop 8 is unconstitutional.
Uh-huh. Yeah, about that?
It seems like a good day, but I'm still a little cautiously optimistic.
It's the only only way to be in dealing with courts. This is, and you're going to be talking to, I know coming up.
Ted Boutros.
Ted Boutros.
Right. He's a lawyer for the plaintiffs in the case, or the, yes, the,
yeah,
the plaintiffs in the case.
Say that, you know, they have the right to remain married. This is one of those things, guys, that, you know, I can't think of any other time in our history where rights that existed were actually taken away.
Right.
You know, that's how the court ruled yesterday, that in a situation, it was a relatively narrow ruling for a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
The Ninth Circuit's a very progressive circuit. Steve Reinhardt, appointed by President Carter, writing for the majority,
right.
I think, said, look, we're gonna focus this on a state where by ballot initiative something was passed, and then by state Supreme Court it was overturned, and then they addressed it just to this, so that when this is appealed by Ted Olson and David Boies, mm-hmm. all the way to the Supreme Court, and I think Rob Reiner, of course, has been very involved in all of that.
And we'll be talking to him in hour three of
in
the show
hour
today.
This is a strategy that is focused, frankly, on one man, and that man is Anthony Kennedy, Justice Anthony Kennedy,
mm-hmm.
because he is the swing vote, and everyone knows that. It's an open secret, and the way this opinion was written to be consistent with a decision that Kennedy had written in a case, I think it was a Colorado case, that talked about rights in this very specific way. And so the hope is that it is going to be a fight. There's almost no doubt it will be a 5-4 decision, one way or the other, when it gets to the Supreme Court.
Right.
And Anthony Kennedy is that vote, and that's what that decision yesterday is about. It's about sending this up the chain. It will probably skip the full Ninth Circuit, which would be the 11 judges.
They call that on bank, don't they?
They do. They
hey.
Call that on bank. Hey, what law degree? Where?
I took one law class in journalism school. It was communications law. It taught me everything I need to know.
And they gave you the on bank.
That's right.
You have your on banking card. And
yeah.
They could do that, and it is possible. We still haven't heard the decision that it could be appealed, and that would put another layer in. The thing to understand, too, is that, it'd be interesting to hear Ted Boutros' take on this, is that there are other cases working their way up on a parallel track from other, it's challenging the Defense of Marriage Act.
Right.
And they are also racing up to the Supreme Court. And the question is, which of these cases, Prop 8 or the Defense of Marriage ones, are the best ones to get to the Supreme Court, have the best chance of getting that swing vote from Anthony Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not being a lawyer and not even playing one on the radio, I can't tell you what I think. I'm very interested to know what the experts think on which case. One of these cases is going to be heard by the U.S. Supreme Court.
Sure.
And that's where this is ultimately going. So yesterday was a great victory for justice and for everything that, you know, is right and good in America.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing has changed. We wake up today and those 18,000 couples are still married,
right.
But they still have no rights other than sort of a limbo marriage.
Sure.
Or a limbo marriage, where they have more coming.
Right. Now, I was watching Jeffrey Toobin on CNN yesterday do an analysis of this, and he was saying that this ruling was so narrowly written for California,
yep.
that it might not even go to the Supreme Court.
Wow.
Well, I had heard that said. I can't believe that's true, but again, Ted Boutros and Rob Reiner,
right.
it is possible. Supreme Court has the right to take whatever case interests them. Remember Bush v. Gore.
Mm-hmm.
That could have stopped with the Florida Supreme Court. Citizens United could have stopped in Wisconsin. The court decides sometimes to reach down and pull a case up to it. And that's up to the court.
Right.
And no one can predict, one would have predicted, frankly, that Florida should have decided Florida law.
Yeah.
Now, the beauty of this one, the one that you got to love, is that the two guys who are opposing each other in Florida on Bush v. Gore,
right.
Ted Olson and David Boies, have become superheroes, like the Avengers.
Yeah.
They have united. You know, it's Thor and the Hulk.
And right.
Aquaman.
Aquaman was not in the Avengers, Jim Warden. You know
no.
that.
No, he was not.
He was in the Justice League.
Ah, of course.
Damn. What do I, is it not enough to know politics? Do I have to?
No, comic
There's
books?
There's a Marvel universe and a DC universe, and they do not
They don't mix
fun.
At all.
They don't.
No.
You know, do you guys know that this is always, there's a documentary film called Loving, which is coming out next week on HBO, and talking about the courts and changing laws. Back in the 60s, there was a couple from Virginia, the Lovings.
Right.
A black man, white man.
Loving
black
versus
woman.
Virginia.
They were in Virginia, right, exactly.
Right.
And they got married when it was illegal in Virginia.
Right.
The law said you can't do it. So they go to D.C. in the 60s, Mr. and Mrs. Loving. Mm-hmm. They become Mr. and Mrs. Loving. They get married in D.C. They come back to Virginia. They get arrested for being married. They're
right.
hauled before the judge, who says, we're not going to put you in jail, but you are banned from Virginia for 25 years.
Holy cow.
So here's what happens. The Lovings leave. They just want to be married.
Right.
They go. They have kids. A lawyer from the ACLU says, you know, you've got to appeal this. And they're not political. They're not activists. But they agreed to let them take the case. And it goes all the way to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court then, because it was not a partisan body, by 9-0, threw out the decision and ended all of these anti-miscegenation laws,
mm-hmm.
the intermarriage laws that were still on the books. And there were still, I don't know, 15 or 20 states that had them in the 60s. But here's what is shocking about what that opinion said. A judge of a court in Virginia looked at the Lovings and said, the Lord God put black people and red people and brown people and yellow people in different parts of the world for a reason.
God.
Because he did not want them to intermix. And that was the language of a judicial decision.
Right.
So, you know, we've come a long way.
As far as interracial marriages go, yes, absolutely.
But in terms of how blatant some of these decisions have been,
right.
and reflecting prejudice and religious prejudice,
yeah.
which is a lot of what this is about.
Right.
But the fact is, that's in our lifetime.
Guess who just showed up?
Yay! Yay! She's riding in on a white horse.
Yes.
So I was partying with Miley Cyrus and Demi Moore.
I see, yes.
A couple of weeks ago, I wake up in rehab. Rebecca calls.
Well, I called you first. You didn't answer.
Okay. Here's what's embarrassing.
David Bender is on the phone.
Hi,
by the
David
way.
Bender.
Hi there, sweetie.
Well, welcome. You and I just yesterday on the phone discussed my
show.
Yes, we discussed my horrific insomnia problems. So here's what happened. You know me and technical things, right?
Captain
yes.
says no.
So I sometimes set my alarm early if I have to do all my show prep.
Right.
But I was up half the night anyway. So I did all my show prep, and I reset my alarm for 5 o'clock. However...
Uh-huh. First of all, there's no excuse, bitch. You need to be at work on time.
It turns out I reset my alarm for 6
PM.
O'clock. Yes, and so Rebecca calls,
and I'm like,
hello, Rebecca. What's up? What's going on?
I said, Stephanie, your show started 15 minutes ago.
Wasn't I friendly and delightful? I was like, hi, Rebecca. What's going on?
Well, at least you were friendly about that part, but I was like, get your ass to work.
Yeah, then she screamed at me.
Well, yeah.
And that got me going. I was like, what? I said, no, it's not. It's 5 o'clock. She's like, no, it's not. And we argued about that for a while, and I lost more time.
We should probably take a break now, because we're going to be talking to Ted Boutros right after the break.
How would I have any idea what's going on my own show? Listen, I've been surfing a Santorum surge into celebration of gay marriage.
Oh, man.
Now you need to. Now not only do you need to wipe my ass, Chris, you need to come to my house, and it's just a little tiny alarm clock. It's really not even that difficult.
I've seen that alarm clock.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Instead of resetting time, you know, I reset time.
There's an easy alarm clock on your new iPhone.
Really?
Yes, you should set that.
Well, I turn that off so you don't call me and bug me during the night. All right.
Well, David Bender, thank you so much for
always
helping
a pleasure,
us.
Guys. Tell her about the sundial.
Yeah. We were wondering if your alarm clock was a sundial.
It may be.
To go along with your paper calendar.
Thank you, Bendy. I'll see you later.
See you later.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. All right. 44 minutes left. Don't yell at me, Rebecca. Oh, God, she's like a nun from my Catholic school. Because your show started at 6 o'clock! She's
screaming at me. The sun's up already!
I'm like, hi, Rebecca, how are you? She goes, your show started 15 minutes ago. I was like, what? You must be mistaken. All right, 45 minutes after the hour, what happens now?
Ted Boutros.
Of course.
Is calling in
well,
next.
I got here just in time.
Yes.
Who wanted to make small talk with you three? Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
They degrade women and beavers.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I know, right? You would totally think it was a hangover. What
yeah.
with me riding the Centaurum Surge? He made a splash coming from behind,
oh,
didn't he?
Yeah. Stop it.
Hey.
Wowee. That was exciting. And then gay marriage. I might have gone to Vegas and married Lisa. Who knows? I don't even remember.
But this doesn't cover Nevada.
See, I'm not very good at details. That and how to operate an alarm clock. I need my legal expert. I need my, and this is the part where you say golly. Ted Boutros.
Golly.
Junior.
Yes.
Who is, I saw Ted Olson on Rachel last night. He was
yeah.
awesome. Ted, of course, his partner. Law partner.
Right.
A Mrs. Boutros and a Mrs. Olson. All right. Okay. We just feel a need to clarify. Good morning, Ted Boutros, Junior.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
So good to have you. What a day, right?
It was a wonderful day to see the Ninth Circuit's opinion and to have them affirm Judge Walker's opinion. It was just fantastic, and to know that the rights of so many people in California were vindicated by the court. So we're riding very high and feeling very good today.
I sent an email last night to my friend Michelle Reiner, and I just said, yay for homos. Will Rob call in tomorrow? And she said, indeed he will. So
yes.
We'll talk to him hour three. But, you know, it struck me, Ted, watching Ted Olson last night on TV and, you know, obviously knowing my friend Rob Reiner. I mean, it is amazing how some of our most eloquent, you know, advocates are straight, are people that so eloquently make the case mm-hmm. for basic American fairness.
Well, it's one of the things, you know, in this case, when working on it, has made me appreciate marriage, and I love my wife Helen. And seeing how people who are locked out of the institution of marriage talk about it and think about it, it only benefits the institution of marriage to let everyone have access to it. And I think that's helped in terms of how we've advocated the case. It really strikes a chord.
It strikes a chord because it's real. You love your wife not in a Larry Craig way.
I love my wife.
But you could tell when you said that. You meant
you
it.
You could tell. Yes. Well, what the court said yesterday, and I think it's really significant, is to strip away such an important right from one group of people simply because of who they are violates equal protection. And that principle is so important to our society, not just in this case, but more generally. But in terms of gay men and lesbians, it's incredibly important. These ballot initiatives, as you know, have been used repeatedly to take away rights from gay people, and so this is a really important decision.
Ted, I always said, I mean, I'm not a legal expert, clearly, but I'm not even an alarm clock expert, but I just got here in time for you. You're the important part. You know, but it did strike me that what you said has been the crux of this, that this is the first time, and I think David Bender mentioned this too, that we have taken away rights from people that already had it. And I remember thinking that at the time, I thought, ooh, that's where they screwed up.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't do that in
that
America.
That was the crux of the
right?
decision yesterday. Mm-hmm.
Well, the really important thing here, I think, is that equal protection is such an important principle. To have a federal appellate court say you can't discriminate against gay people, you cannot take away their rights because of their status, that principle, I think, you're going to see sweep the country in different cases, and I think it's that's why it's such an important day and such an important decision.
Well, you know, Ted, talk to us about why, because for a lot of people that are just lay people watching, they go, well, what does this mean? I've heard all these rulings before, and is this really different? I mean, for those of you that just tuned in, the three-judge panel of the Ninth Circuit Court overturned Prop 8, but of course the first thing people go is, oh, can gays get married now?
No.
The answer is no, and tell us why.
Yeah, the court struck down Proposition 8, affirmed Judge Walker, left the stay, which is the technical term in the law for just keeping things suspended while the courts consider the decision, consider the case, while the other side decides whether they want to seek rehearing from the court, whether they want to seek further proceedings. So right now, the Proposition 8 is still on the books, we have a decision saying it violates the Constitution. What the court said, and I think this is why it's really important, it talked about the social meaning of marriage and the importance of marriage in society, and the terrible consequences when you tell certain people they can't. They're locked out of the institution. You take the right away from them that they had in California for 18 months, and strip it away because of their status. And the court said that the Proposition 8 serves no purpose and has no effect other than to lessen the status and human dignity of gays and lesbians in California, and said that violates the Constitution.
That's right. Now, Ted, it's hard to tell what your opponents are going to do after they were roundly shot down in their Friends Don't Let Friends Judge Gay. but, you know, they can now either appeal to the full Ninth Court Circuit, right? Or this could go right to the Supreme Court. Tell me what you, in your opinion, think is going to happen next.
Yeah, you're absolutely right that they have those options. I'm thinking they're probably going to go right to the Supreme Court, just from what they've been saying. They've been sending out some mixed signals, but my sense is they'll do that. We're ready for whatever they do. It's the kind of case where, because the decision is so clearly correct and grounded in the Supreme Court's own decisions, this Romer versus Evans, which was a Colorado case that where the Supreme Court struck down a ballot initiative there that had targeted gay people. In the ordinary circumstance, it would be a tough case for them to get Supreme Court review. This case is different, I think, because of the importance of the case, because it affects so many people. It's the largest state in the nation. So I think it's going to be tough for the Supreme Court to ignore this case. I think that's probably where they'll go.
Ted, let me just interject quickly, because I read one analysis, I have heard it said, we hear people repeating this is a narrow ruling, only applies to California, not all of the states under the Ninth Circuit's jurisdiction. But somebody was saying that any overreach could be grounds for reversal at the Supreme Court or reconsideration by the broader Ninth Circuit, that maybe this was strategic, the narrow ruling. Is that your take?
My take is that the Ninth Circuit crafted this opinion. It's very well done, honing, staying with the law as it has been articulated by the Supreme Court, applying those Supreme Court decisions. Its rationale is rock solid, and judges, when they're looking at these important constitutional questions, are supposed to take the clearest path to the correct result, and that's what the court did. I think that that the court did write an opinion that is very difficult to attack, will be very difficult to attack in the Supreme Court, and this is the way our courts are supposed to operate. They decide the issue before them. So we were very pleased with the way the judges decided this case.
And in that case, Ted, I know that's why somebody wrote today's opinion was both broad and narrow, you know, with wide implications, because I think that, you know, you're exactly right. I have to say that as I've watched this, I mean, it really has been spectacular legal work on your side.
Yes.
I mean, it seems airtight to me legally.
It's been such a wonderful case to be involved with, to be with our plaintiffs yesterday when we got the ruling. And when we got into this case, and I looked at Romer versus Evans, and Ted Olson and I talked about our strategy on this case, and we said this Romer case, you know, it fits like a glove. That's what happened in California. And so to now have the Ninth Circuit issue an opinion that so eloquently and correctly adopts those positions, it's just a great day, and you know, it's just such a wonderful case to be involved in, because it involves people's lives and their rights.
Ted, always a pleasure to have you. Thanks so much. Give Ted Olson a big wet kiss for me.
Okay,
thank you, sir.
Okay, bye.
All right, big wet gay kiss.
Yes.
All right, 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
There are there. Now, producer Chris.
What?
All right, gentle
what?
Down.
What did
Chris.
I do?
I just got your text now that says, why do I have no host here?
Yeah.
An hour ago.
Yeah.
Because Hal has what? Hal has court today?
Or he has something.
Well,
I don't...
Jim was late, which you would expect that.
By about 30 seconds.
Yeah.
I was late by about 45 minutes. That's a first for me. I set my alarm clock wrong. That was new.
Yeah, the theme song was rolling, and Jim walked in. I'm like, sit down and help me.
See, that's why I brought Rebecca in as a character witness. Because if I'd known I was late, I wouldn't have answered the phone all chirpy. I was like, hi, Rebecca. I thought it was a last-minute guest, something. Good morning, Rebecca. How are you?
I needed Rebecca out there, not in here, because I needed her to make phone calls to try and find your ass.
By the way, she does not have a soothing voice when one has just woken up. Your show started! Dear God.
Get your ass in the car, bitch!
Wow. I wouldn't miss today, for God's sakes. I'm riding a wave of sand. I mean, Mittens lost and Gay Marriage won. How great is today? Yay!
Ironic.
Exactly. Hey, Jim. Who said Proposition 8 serves no purpose and has no effect other than to lessen the status and human dignity of gays and lesbians in California and to officially reclassify their relationships and families as inferior to those of opposite-sex couples? Who said that?
Marcus Bachman!
No,
Judge Stephen Reinhardt, U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit. I enjoyed him in many, many movies, Judge Reinhardt.
Hey, that's Reinhold.
Yes.
Oh, well, that's entirely different.
He played Brad in Fast Times.
That might get, that might get thrown out just based on that.
Yeah.
Oh, he's an actor? He's not even that. No, he's not a real judge.
Beverly Hills Cop, Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Sure. Loved them all. Loved them all. All right. So we will talk to
Home Alone.
Wasn't he Home Alone?
I think. Wasn't it?
It was David Stern.
No, it's different.
Okay. We will talk to super lawyer Gloria Allred this hour about that. And then also our good friend Rob Reiner.
Yep.
I'm telling you, Ted Olson, I just wanted to reach into the television and French kiss him last night. He's just a spectacular advocate.
He really
for
is.
Just human rights, not even gay rights. Just he's really something.
And he's a Republican.
Right?
I know.
I think I have like a little daddy crush on him. Something happening. Okay.
Oh, boy.
All right. So lots to get to. A story out here in L.A. is making like national news. Only for its very, very disgustingness. Am I right, Jim? Just for the really weird, bizarre, unbelievably disgusting nature of it. It's the L.A. Miramonte Elementary School out here in L.A. Because we've heard these stories where, teachers are accused of stuff. But one teacher's accused of feeding. He said it was a tasting game, blindfolded them. And I know.
Yeah, we don't need to.
See, that's why I held off on breakfast. Feeding kids teaspoons of his own.
Yeah, that.
I just think I'm going to burst.
Yeah.
semen. And so... And I believe there's been a second teacher. But anyway, we have a great new afternoon show out here on our flagship station, AM 1150 KTLK here in Los Angeles. David Cruz joins us now. He's been doing his show, from Miramonte. David, how are you? Good morning, sir.
I'm great. Enjoying you guys. How are you?
Good. Welcome to KTLK. We're thrilled to have you.
Well, thank you. It's not as much fun in the afternoon as you guys sound in the morning.
Lots of coffee in the morning.
Yeah. David, I know that I heard you did a great show from Miramonte, because this is obviously, it's made national news because it's a huge story out here. Tell us the latest. They have basically gotten rid of the whole staff at the school, correct?
That's right. As of two nights ago, the community was informed, Stephanie, that the situation was so muddied. We really don't know who's clean, who's not. They decided to just do a switcheroo, pull out all the teachers, all the staff, and tomorrow, students coming back to that elementary school, the 1,500 kids, are coming to an entirely new staff, principal on down. All the teachers are new, they've never met, and that's why yesterday there was a protest of parents out there in the rain with their children saying, hey, we wanted a fix, not a demolition of the school.
Right.
Well,
right.
David, I guess what precipitated this is there was a second teacher, correct, that has he been charged, or what? Give us the update.
Yes. After the arrest of Mark Berndt and the charges against him, other things started to come forward. And a guy named Martin Springer, another teacher in the same school, who, by the way, on a couple of occasions, both teachers had gone out on field trips together with kids. That raises some concerns. And so he was arrested on charges of sexual lewd acts with kids. Then the latest development is a female teacher, according to an attorney who's representing some of the parents now and kids, according to this attorney, there is a female teacher who may have been supplying the first arrested individual, burnt, some of the little girls in the after-school program, four or five kids.
Wow.
They had adjoining classrooms. He would walk in, according to the lawyer. He would talk to the teacher, whisper in her ear, mess with her hair, and then they would giggle, and he would be handed 4 to 5 kids that he would walk into his classroom for his games, as he called them, with these kids.
So it's
really a troubling story.
You know, well, David, you know, one of the other levels I think it's troubling on is I was hearing one of the mothers interviewed, and she made the other point that most of the parents and kids there are Hispanic. And she said, you know, this has apparently been going on for some time. And she said, you know, I don't feel like this would happen in Brentwood. And I have to say I agree with her, you know.
Completely. 98% Hispanic, 2% African-American, a low underperforming school in the city of Los Angeles, a school district that now hovers around 675,000 kids, the second largest in the country. Some say, Stephanie, this could be the tipping point story that is going to finally lead to breaking up the district.
Yeah.
It's too big to be managed.
That needs to be done. Absolutely.
I mean, it seems like, you know, the principal made a strong decision in removing, because obviously if you're a parent, you're thinking, oh my God, how many teachers are involved in this? But, you know, obviously, some innocent teachers, I'm sure, were affected by this. So I know some parents were against that. How did that break down?
But you see, the principal didn't make the call. The call was made by the superintendent.
Excuse me.
He made the call after tremendous outside pressure. And let me tell you what really we think was the catalyst. Yesterday, forms were being turned in by parents that they had started filling out forms the day before to transfer their kids out. They were going to lose a huge amount of money because the parents knew if I pull my student out of the school doesn't get its money. When it became an economic issue, that then seemed to be the one. Because can you imagine if this started to occur in other schools around the city of L.A.? They don't get funded unless kids go to school.
Yeah. Now I have heard that aspect of it, David. How are the parents feeling now? Because this is, you know, obviously I don't have kids, but I can only imagine. This is one of the reasons I didn't, because I would just, if I had one, it would be like the girl in the plastic bubble. I would never let them leave. I would just say, but it's there's got to be a mix of just anger and fear, and people don't know how long this has been going on or what, you know. I heard there was one story yesterday that one girl recanted against one of the teachers.
Well, apparently there's not enough proof on one of the cases to go forward, but according to the DA, to file charges against Springer. But nonetheless, they still did press charges on one of the other girls. Both of them were 7. But let me say this. There is outrage by the parents. Some of them say that the school district has gone overboard. It's a no-win situation. In the end, what's going to happen is now you have teachers who have been pulled out. They're being placed in another school, get this, under construction. So they're sitting there today drawing full pay and benefits, doing nothing because they can't be allowed to come in touch with kids, and then a whole new slew of teachers who have been laid off have been brought in, and they'll start tomorrow.
My God. David, what is the teachers union spoken out about this, and if so, what have they had to say? Because I protested with the teachers unions against Schwarzenegger back in the day, and you know there's a lot of great folks, you know, obviously both teachers and people in the union. I mean, this obviously is a tough situation for everybody.
It is a tough situation for the union as well, but you know what it's come down to, Stephanie, is that they've had to stay hands-off because this has been a fast-moving story. Nobody wants to get too close to something when they don't know how deep the problem runs. We don't know how many of the people in the school may have been maybe indirectly complicit by not having reported some of the odd behavior of these two accused sexual predators. So it's a tough call all the way around.
Yeah, I mean, because obviously you hear your normal, you know, anti-union hyperbole on the right. I mean, I've heard that, like, oh, you know, they knew it's happening and they don't care. And I mean, it's like, that's ridiculous. You know what I mean? Like, no normal human that knew this was going on would be letting it go on, right?
But there have been rumors, and here's the deal, Stephanie. When a teacher is pulling kids off the playground and things are kind of going sideways, the door's locked, the paper covers the window, you know, reasonable people will ask reasonable questions, except that these parents don't speak English, and they don't even have a PTA. There's not even a PTA at the school. How do you have 1,500 kids, 3,000 parents, and there's no PTA?
Yep.
So there's no civic engagement on behalf of the community, and I think that, too, needs to be expressed.
Yep, absolutely. David, great stuff. I've really been listening and enjoying your show. 3 to 6 p.m., correct, here on AM 1150 KTLK in Los Angeles.
You're there. You got it. Hey, do you need me to get you an alarm clock?
Hey, leave me one when you're in this afternoon.
All right. See you later.
All right.
Thanks,
you too.
David.
Thanks, David. David Cruz.
Wow.
From our flagship KTLK. All right. You know, we're all just sort of riding the Santorum wave. It's who knew there'd be another Santorum surge, Jim? It's
well. Apparently Pat Boone did. He endorsed him. And
it was the magic. Who knew? Who knew? It's the big Pat Boone endorsement.
Letters in the sand.
Mm. Yes. Rick Santorum swept 3 nominating contests yesterday, upsetting Mitt Romney.
It's hard to upset Mitt Romney.
Mm. Minnesota, Missouri, and
Colorado.
I'm
nearly miffed.
And turnout was really, really low in all 3 of those states.
Go frothy. I've been on the new train, but you know, frothy.
Wouldn't you love to see a debate between Santorum and Obama?
Awesome. It's all a thing of beauty, any of them. Gene in Minneapolis. Hi, Gene.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
I want to paraphrase Will Rogers' comments about the weather in Oklahoma and say, if you don't like the Republican Party, wait a minute.
If you don't like the front runner, wait a minute. It'll be different tomorrow. Yeah. I mean, Santorum's actually won more contests now than Romney. It's hilarious.
Yeah, it is. But I do want to point out that, for example, here in Minnesota, he only got a total of 21,000 votes. We got about 4.5 million people living in this state. Not a big deal. And we are also an interesting state in that at one point in time, we had the most liberal senator and the most conservative senator in the Senate of the United States at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
Stone and Graham. So,
oh, yeah. It's a cattywampus state. It's who elects Al Franken and Michelle Bachmann? I mean, really, people.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, honey. I appreciate it. All right. 18 minutes after the hour, we will break it down.
Break it down.
What? The Republican.
I knew that was going to come from you.
You triggered the.
Sorry for saying
you
that.
Press the wrap button.
Well.
All right.
Yeah.
Solid.
Rapping like 1993.
We will break down the Republican primary results as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Never in the history of the world have the merchants of obscenity had available to them the modern facilities for disseminating this filth.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. I think Super Saturday is going to be more super. Thanks for asking. Maybe Ron Paul's going to be front runner by then.
Oh, wow.
Who knows?
It's entirely possible. Ron Paul came in second in, was it 2 contests yesterday?
Awesome.
They'll be able to afford a suit that fits.
Yeah, it'd be awesome because, by the way, Super Tuesday, Super Tuesday is going, Super Saturday is the Chicago Sexy Liberal Show. Those tickets are going fast.
Yeah.
The $32 tickets are almost sold out. Grab those because people are trying to scalp them for $90. Go to sexyliberal.com or sexyliberal on Facebook. Don't go to scalping sites.
Right.
L.A., we had a massive day yesterday. We may be sold out by the end of this week for the July 28th show.
Whoa.
Joints. And Madison, they just released a very few of their own VIP tickets, so hurry, because that's been sold out for quite some time now. All right. Oh, by the way, another unsolicited testimonial. Paul and Powell writes, Living La Vida Steph. Steph, I'm your slave. I do what you say to do. I think things go better for you if you do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
right?
Things go better with Coke.
Sure. We went to Detroit Sexy Liberal. You gave me a plate of half-eaten cheese at the Meat and Grope. My slave for Rod's life.
Well, you probably thought he was the waiter, and he said, here, take this.
Excuse me,
with my bony Jan Brewer fingers. Here, boy, take this.
And let me tell you something.
Let me take this cheese away from me. And we now have tickets to Chicago March 3rd. It's a Steph head. And I type 70 in the box, got a sweet deal on a dozen chocolate-coated strawberries, and a great flower arrangement for my wife on our anniversary / Valentine's Day. This is the second year in a row I've used Sherry's Berries. All hail the power of Steph.
Wow.
Okay. Oh, we have 3 Sherry's Berries for the best calls today.
And Pro Flowers.
Yeah. Check it out.
Yep.
But you know why? Because we're celebrating because it's like Christmas has come again.
I know.
And Frothy's back. Yeah.
Mm. Santorum had to hurry on his way, but he waved goodbye to me, and I'll try to be president someday.
Whee! tea's alive again. It's like when frothy is melted, and magically frothy's back. Frothy's back.
Conservatism is alive and well in Missouri and Minnesota.
And Colorado. Yeah. Howard Dean. And come on, we're going on to I don't know where else. He does make a... Santor makes a big splash when he comes from behind. Do you know what I'm saying?
Ew.
Okay.
Governor Romney's greatest attribute is, well, I've got the most money and the best organization. Well, he's not going to have the most money and the best organization in the fall, is he? No, we're going to have someone who has other attributes to commend himself to the people of America. Someone who can get up and make sharp contrasts with President Obama. Someone who can point to the failed record of this administration and say that Barack Obama needs to be replaced in the Oval Office.
Yep. Frothy!
Somebody
frothy.
Wants sick kids to die because they can't afford their medicine.
Well, that's what David Bender was saying to us in hour one.
Is I that missed that. I've heard he was spectacular.
He was really good. He was saying that the Republicans are looking for someone who is a sharp contrast from Barack Obama and not just what they say Barack Obama liked.
What's more exciting is I love when conventional wisdom gets thrown on its arse. Because everyone's just been saying, like, what did Charlie Pierce call it, the forced march to mitdom?
Yes.
And it's like, I love when you just go, you know what, maybe money doesn't matter. I've made this analogy with Meg Whitman in California, Linda McMahon in Connecticut. Somebody was saying yesterday,
Fiorina?
Yes, even with Citizens United. I mean, there's only so many TV ads you can buy, and if people don't like you, you know, and that's what's happening, I think, with Mitt.
Yep.
Oh, mittens. There you go.
This was a good night for Rick Santorum. Want to congratulate Senator Santorum. Wish him the very best. We'll keep on campaigning down the road, but I expect to become our nominee with your help.
Oh, who let man on dog out? Woof, woof.
Yeah, he came from behind.
I should have tied him to the roof.
You should have tied him to the roof back in Florida. Patrice in Oakland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Patrice.
Hey, Steph. Hey, guys.
Hello.
You know, the not Romney crowd is alive and well. That's what was proven last night. It shows how even weaker Romney is going to be in the general election. Also, it's just like you guys said. They don't like him. They can't stand Romney. And it doesn't matter how much money is being poured into his campaign, he's still going to lose.
I'm telling you, Patrice, it may be the year conventional wisdom just gets upended because people keep saying, oh, no, he has the money, the organization, this, that, you know. And it's, he's having trouble overcoming his mittness.
Yes.
29 minutes after the hour, right back with Gloria Allred on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
All right, but try to keep your mouth shut, okay? You have a habit of saying the wrong thing.
Too late. They gave me a radio show. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Historic day here in California and in the old U.S. of A. Prop 8 overturned yesterday, in case you hadn't heard, ruled unconstitutional. We have our friend, super lawyer, Gloria Allred, on, who we only have for a few minutes because she has to go back on TV. Have you ever been on TV before, Gloria? I've never seen you.
I know. I'm a newbie.
Yes. Don't be nervous.
But I said I have to do Stephanie Miller first.
Yes, thank you.
Because I love Stephanie. So here we are, and I'm so excited about Prop 8.
Yep, we love
you. I'm so excited about the ruling and the way they ruled it is really important because basically they ruled that that same-sex couples may not be targeted by an initiative which denies this minority the human dignity they're entitled to enjoy under the Equal Protection Clause of the United States Constitution. So we should all be very happy that the court has affirmed that lower court decision, found that Prop 8 was unconstitutional. It's just a great day for marriage equality and for civil rights, and we're very proud of the court and of their decision, and I know that you and I both hope that the United States Supreme Court will affirm this decision if, as and when they accept it for the decision.
Yeah. Well, you know, Gloria, I don't know if you know, obviously this is a different track, but everybody's asking now what comes next. Is the full Ninth Circuit going to hear it? Is it going to go to the Supreme Court? But I also heard that a California gay rights group is going to start gathering signatures for a November ballot initiative asking voters to repeal Prop 8. How do you think this is all going to play out? Because obviously the question people are asking is, oh, can gay people get married now in California?
Okay, well, you know, that's an interesting organizing tactic to try to get it back on the ballot. But I don't know whether they'll be successful in getting enough signatures or not. Certainly the trend is towards marriage equality in California. But what was your question?
Well, it's just, how do you see this playing out? Do you think it's going to go to the full Ninth Circuit, to the Supreme Court? I mean,
it depends on whether the proponents of Prop 8 decide that they're going to ask for what is called a hearing en banc, which means the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, 11 judges would hear it, not just the three that just heard it. And they could petition for a hearing en banc, and that may or may not be denied. Or they may just skip right to an appeal to the United States Supreme Court. So we'll have to wait and see what they do. But the good thing about this and the way it was decided, it's a very narrow decision, which essentially means that a right that was once afforded, and by the way, it was afforded as a result of our decision in our case that we brought on behalf of Robin Tyler and Diane Olson, the right that there was a constitutional right to marry in California, that right was repealed by Prop 8, and that's what the court has said cannot be done, because once that right is afforded, it can't be taken away.
Right. Did you must have, as the super lawyer that you are, I was saying this earlier, that you must have known when they did this, that legally this was, I mean, you cannot create a group of citizens like this that we created in California, right, where, as you say, it was a right they had and then was taken away, right?
Well, yeah, and it was really very disappointing that the Supreme Court second round did it. Because Prop 8 was exactly the language of Prop 22, which the court found was unconstitutional. So why the second time around they would decide differently, it was very troubling. And some people felt it was for political reasons as opposed to legal. But in any event, that's what happened. And so now comes the federal court battle, and that's what's going on right now.
Well, Glo, we thank you for your early work. We all stand on each other's shoulders, and for you, it's lucky you wear shoulder pads.
Yeah.
I have to, for all those that kind of beat me up.
Sure,
but,
exactly.
You know what? That's what's going to happen in civil rights, and I wear it as a badge of honor.
Yep. Yes, and now if you could just say, hi, this is Gloria Allred calling, so I can play that back when I have various circumstances when I may need it.
Hi, this is Gloria Allred calling. You got to leave Stephanie Miller alone.
Great.
Yeah.
And
got her back.
And
yeah.
Edit point. Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Back to television for you. Love
Bye-bye.
You, Glo. All right.
Bye.
There she goes.
Wow.
I actually had that this time. I could use that in a bunch of circumstances.
You sure could.
Just leave it on someone's machine. This is Gloria Allred calling. Leave Stephanie alone.
Never mind. Do we still have Sox phone number?
Oh,
you could leave it on Sox answering machine.
Awesome. Dan in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dan.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm thinking if we want to give credit for Romney's loss yesterday, consider the 15,000 pilots, stewardesses, and mechanics have been out in force demonstrating that they got laid off by Romney when Blaine took over the American Airlines bankruptcy.
Fame, yeah, I know. I was saying, it's I think God's a Democrat, once again. It just couldn't be worse timing for Romney, all of these stories that Bain just told American Airlines to fire how many thousands of people. Right?
That's right.
That's what they do.
Sounds like even Bain doesn't want Romney.
Yeah, I don't even know. These are just these three headlines this morning. Romney's minimum wage proposal sparks conservative backlash. Hypocrisy. Romney maintained Massachusetts' contraception requirement that mirrors Obama's rule.
That's right.
Mitt Solyndra. He handed out renewable energy subsidies, too. Oh, mittens.
He really is Obama light. I mean, if they're going to paint him as Obama light, that's all they need right there.
Yeah, here's Mittens yesterday trying about the whole blah, blah, blah. Here we go. Assault on religion.
This kind of assault on religion will end if I'm president of the United States.
Yeah. By that, he means the contraception rule.
Although the news is that Obama may back off the whole contraception thing. I'm saying on CNN.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I've got to finish this story because it's such a mitten-esque thing of beauty. Yeah, he is... has launched a petition accusing the Obama administration of using Obamacare to impose a secular vision on Americans who believe they should not have their religious freedom taken away, blah, blah, blah. Move the latest in a conservative campaign effort to rally the conservative base around the supposed war on religion that we keep hearing more and more about. To misrepresent or outright lie about a new regulation requiring employers and insurers to offer contraceptive coverage. Would you like the fun facts from Mitt's own record?
Sure.
Which he'll be startled to find once again. Romney's newfound outrage, stark contrast from his record as Massachusetts governor when he tacitly endorsed a very similar coverage mandate and greatly expanded government-funded contraceptive services. What? The state enacted a contraceptive equity law that required insurers that provide outpatient benefits to cover hormone replacement therapy and contraceptive. Similar to the Obama regulation, the law exempted an employer that is a church or qualified church-controlled organization from the requirement, and the legislature soundly defeated an amendment that would have allowed affiliated institutions such as hospitals, universities, nursing homes, blah, 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 to deny their employees coverage. The defeated amendment closely mirrors the expanded conscience protections religious groups are now clamoring for. Romney renamed Mum on the requirement and pledged to maintain the status quo on family planning. Related policy throughout his gubernatorial campaign. He even promised to expand access to emergency contraception and restore state funding for family planning and teen pregnancy. His own record just keeps...
That was Rit Romney.
Rit Romney?
The state of Massachusetts.
Just like his record's like toilet paper on his shoe. It's just, what? No. Perhaps his greatest contribution to expanding the public availability of birth control came from his health reform law. The state's Commonwealth Care, which offers subsidized low or no-cost insurance program for low-income residents without access to employer-sponsored health insurance, offers primary and preventative care that includes family planning services and contraception.
That was the week I was replaced by a robot. And no one
that was
tell.
The Rombot, not me.
Rombot.
I don't know what he's talking about. Cordell in Kentucky, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Cordell.
Hello, Mama. Hello everybody.
Hello, me.
It's the official screenwriter, gay black screenwriter of the Stephanie
Miller
Show.
Gay black screenwriter, yep.
I want to defend you for a moment before I get to my question on Prop 8, if I can. I notice a lot of people call in and give you a hard time because you're dating a much younger and, dare I say, hotter person than most people.
Thanks for that.
You know, getting with, but let me just say, there is nothing wrong with dating somebody older because I found in my experience that older people tend to be more gentle, sweet, compassionate.
That's right. That's right. We have no choice.
Well, and they stay in the jammies all day.
You are not describing Stephanie Miller.
Bastard.
You know, Chris.
All right, Cordell, as a fellow elderly person, I'm going to give you some Sherry's berries to give to whoever. How about your mom, who's been all supportive of you coming out this year?
Thank you.
In honor of the Prop 8 decision. All right, here we go. I'll put them on hold. Send your Valentine giant freshly dripped strawberries from Sherry's Berries.
Yes.
They start at only $19.99. Go to berries.com, click on the mic, type in the code Stephanie.
And they're all gigantic. Right.
They're ginormous. Rebecca, give them some berries. All right. So let's go to Buddy in Columbus. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Buddy.
Hey, Mama. I hope you catch up on all your sleep this weekend and get back on, you know, on track and, you know,
I'll catch up the next time Art calls. Take a nap.
Seriously, you can sleep in, and then Lisa can get up and fix herself a bowl of Cap'n Crunch.
Watch the cartoons. Thank you. All right, we're over our limit of young girlfriend jokes this hour, but thank you.
Hey, Mama, real quick, you know, if you talk about Scott Walker, we got the biggest D-bag of all time as governor.
Kasich, slowly I turned.
Yesterday, Kasich gave his State of the State address in Steubenville, Ohio, in an elementary school like lunchroom because he was so afraid to face the people.
Yeah. The best thing of beauty was the look on his face the night he lost on election night on his stupid, what was that, SB5? Is that the name of it?
Oh, yeah. If you got 30 seconds, he has now just figured a way with he and his Wall Street buddies with a leveraged buyout to sell the profits from the state liquor sales for the next 25 years to himself and his Wall Street buddies.
Oh.
Hey, they. Hey.
To paraphrase John Kasich, have you ever met a governor who's an idiot?
Yes, exactly.
By the way, Jim, you had said that that Obama might be waffling on the contraception
thing.
Well, I just got a tweet from Panther Girl Gail, and she has a really good point. Saying you will work to allay the fears of the church does not mean backing down. Okay. That's all he said.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I was sleepy, so I can't fight Jim every step of the way. I don't even know what he's talking about.
Will
all right. One more.
Right-wing hypocrites.
Mitt Solyndra. Mittens is having a bad day.
Bless his heart.
Mm. Republicans pounding Barack Obama on cylinder, but it may be a complicated argument for their frontrunner to maintain. Or is he a frontrunner now, or is he a...
Well, in terms of delegates, he is a frontrunner. Okay. And the delegate count is what counts.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's like T-ball. Everyone gets a turn at frontrunner.
Yeah.
No, great.
Everyone gets a delegate.
Yeah, but it's just that
No matter how bad they are, they get a chance on the Republican primary this year. It's kind of nice.
It's just that Romney is winning the states with bigger populations, so that's kind of what counts.
When Mitt Romney was governor, Massachusetts also picked some winners and losers with energy subsidies. Oh, dear. Mm. And like Obama, some of the companies Romney's state invested in came out on the losing end. The special assistant for climate issues for Romney said it's exactly the kind of thing he'd say you invest in, that you win some, you lose some. It does seem hypocritical. Do you think?
A little bit.
Do you think? He had a few Cylindras when he was governor.
Wow.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
That's unfortunate.
It's a bad day to be a Republican. Okay, 46.
All the frothy's enjoying his day today.
Oh, heavens. It must be kind of bittersweet, though. There's been yet another Santorum surge, and there will be a spurt of fundraising, as Wolf Blitzer would say. And yet...
And we'll have to leave it there.
And yet, Prop 8 overturned. Bittersweet day for the frothy.
Mm-hmm.
46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You're a rock star, Stephanie. You're the best. There's nobody better than all liberal, left-wing, crazy, lunatic, fringe talk than you.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour. We talked to our buddy, our pal, Rob Reiner, next hour about Prop 8 being overturned yesterday out here in California. Because why? We were born this way. Hello. 1-800. That's why I made my entrance in a giant egg 45 minutes late today.
That why?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering.
My future husband, Ted Olson, yesterday.
It is about whether we're going to eliminate second-class citizenship, whether we're going to treat thousands, millions of our citizens as less equal, less respected, different, less entitled, isolated.
Well, according to Rick Santorum, are we going to let men marry dogs?
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
He doesn't seem to understand why that is insulting to gay people.
Although I would marry Max and Fred if I could, because they're so handsome and romantic.
What does Lisa think about that?
Not crazy about it. Okay, let's... all right, we're having the typical couples, like, no dogs in the bed, yes, dogs in the bed argument, and no cats are giving me an iron lung argument, so...
Oh, boy.
Woo!
We had a great Dane who slept with us in the bed in my first marriage, and he kicked when he was dreaming, so that was fun.
Awesome, and that's why it was a first marriage, apparently.
Well... Wasn't because of it.
Oh, my Boots hopped up on the bed last night at about 11:30 and licked my face.
Awesome, with that scratchy sandpaper tongue.
Scratchy sandpaper tongue. Mm,
awesome.
Yeah.
Great.
Thanks.
Good fun.
Thanks, Boots.
Good
You're
fun.
Cute.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's dive into the right-wing world. Rush Limbaugh, I just love this. This is what they're left with, is apparently the Obama White House cooking the books on the jobs numbers.
That's right. Uh-huh.
Making them up.
The withholding doesn't line up with the employment numbers, or however you want to cast it as the unemployment number. They just don't add up. It's still very confusing. Mm-hmm. And so games are being played. It's an election year. This Catholic Church is the same thing. And what Obama monkeying the numbers here, jimmying around with things in an election year designed to make things look better than they are, projected to be better than they are.
And the Catholic Church has what to do with that?
I don't know what he was talking about.
Missed that there. By the way, Russ, did you see this headline? Many Catholic universities and hospitals already cover contraception in their health insurance plans.
Yeah, you douche.
Oddly. Douche.
He's simply making them up like I do most of the things I say on this show.
His stack of stuff is completely made up.
Yes. It was written by Snerdly, who is also fictional.
All right.
Yeah, everybody on this staff is real. You don't have a single fictional staff member.
Right, Jim? Oh, my God. Maybe it is. Maybe it's happening here. Maybe Jim Crow's not real.
I am a hologram.
Like the Doctor on Star Trek Voyager.
Yeah, see, now with the video cameras, you can't do that anymore.
I know.
Damn it.
Right? You stream. I can't have as many fictional radio friends as I used to.
Rush Limbaugh's fans are, why doesn't Snerdly ever go on camera?
Yes, and why? When will Liberace marry?
And how do I dial a phone to call Rush?
When will Liberace find a nice girl and settle down?
How do you spell ditto?
That was actually on a copy of TV Guide back in the 1950s. Oh. Will Liberace ever marry?
Seriously, did that technique come from that he's schizophrenic? Because it's distracting because he's talking like he's listening to someone.
Right.
But clearly there is no Snerdly.
There is no Snerdly.
What's that Snerdly? Well, I don't know. I mean, is that good radio technique?
I think it's the OxyContin.
You know, finish the conversation with whoever your fictional friend in your head, and then let us know how it comes out.
You know how I know Snerdly is fictitious?
Mm.
No staff member would ever stay with Rush Limbaugh for 20 years.
Right. 20 minutes.
All right. Must you, Dana Loesch? Really?
Well,
really?
Yeah, she seems...
Why must you Loesch out at me every day?
You see, because her name sounds like...
NAACP's Benjamin Jealous insisting that voter identification is suppression of the black vote.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be one of the things we're going to discuss. I don't know what sort of logic, or actually, let me rephrase this. I don't know how inebriated one must be in order to make that astounding presupposition.
Hmm. Oh, I see. He must be drunk?
Yeah, he must be drunk to think that voter
ID laws...
There's
been any history of black voter suppression in this country?
No, that's crazy.
Sure.
Yeah, he's drunk.
Yeah, Dana figures that since it hasn't happened to her, it hasn't happened to anybody.
Yes,
right?
Well, she's not, in case you haven't noticed.
She's not black.
She's not black. She's mean.
Yeah, she's a screechy white woman. I'll give her that.
All right. Todd Starnes on Fox and Friends.
You know, I grew up in the South, and gosh, I'm a gun-toting, chicken-eating son of a Baptist myself. And I realize that most of my family, they tote around guns. They go to church, and they don't seem all that bitter. And I think the reason people cling to their guns and they cling to their religion is they're afraid President Obama is going to take them away from them.
Wow.
That's one way to look at it.
That old meme is back?
Yep.
That Obama's going to take your guns away.
And your religion.
He
added religion to there.
Even though the president's never said anything about guns.
Right.
There's been no...
No.
Yes. Wow, that's back again? That's all they're left with. It's something Obama said several years
they've
ago.
They've given up on the Kenyan thing, so they're...
Oh, no, they haven't.
Oh,
no,
really?
They haven't. Birtherism makes a comeback among Republicans. I was just going to say, this is how you know your Republican field is awful. A new poll shows that the number of people who believe President Obama was born in the U.S. has dipped to levels below even the weeks leading up to President Obama's release of his birth certificate.
Hmm.
The movement appears attributable to Republicans, 37% of, no, that's 12 points higher, 37% of whom now say President Obama was not born in the U.S. That is what they're left with.
They're actually thinking of John McCain, who actually was
not born in the United States.
Mm-hmm. John Hannity, I know Clint Eastwood.
We have $5 trillion in debt.
Oh,
the taxpayers on the hook. We had a way first of all, we're designing cars in Washington.
Is it working or not?
Hang on. No, it's not, because
it's
the taxpayers
working.
Are not
we're
getting
putting
them,
Americans
the,
back
the
to
tax
work.
Pay, they're not getting
money.
Their money back.
Let's talk about halftime in America. That's what this is about.
If
this
Obama's
is about
reelected, it's
America.
The end time in America.
Well, you know, oh, good Jehovah God, the end is near, apparently.
End time, get it? Ah, it's great.
Lord, the day is at hand.
Yeah. Okay.
We are in the last days.
Okay.
Campaign.
Okay. Yeah, we'll talk about the Clint Eastwood spoke out about the Super Bowl ad.
Yeah.
It's so hilarious what becomes partisan in America.
Look, I'm an actor. And a Republican.
Yes.
What they pay, he's a what they Republican. Say.
God. 58 minutes. Yeah, we can't even agree that yay for the car industry in America. Really? Okay. 58 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Another Santorum surge, another spurt of fundraising, and I'm being told I still have not spent enough time with Mr. Google.
Hello.
6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number toll-free from anywhere. Talk to our friend Rob Reiner about the big doings in California. Prop 8 overturned by the Ninth Circuit Court yesterday. Yay. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, stephaniemiller.com, the website, sexyliberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. Speaking of which, Chris in Connecticut was in Philly Saturday night. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Steph. My wife and I drove down from Connecticut just to see your show, and it's fantastic.
Wow. Aw, thank you, honey. Thank you so much.
But I think you need a new publicist because you are way more attractive and way hotter in person.
Oh, Chris, why?
And I'm not just saying that because you rubbed your breast against me during the meeting.
All right. Thank you, Chris.
But I wanted to know, with the Santorum surge,
yes,
for the show,
yes,
just for the comedy value, who are you hoping will become the Republican nominee?
You know what? At this point, I can't decide. You know, I agree with someone that said they're just all so great. That's why they're having trouble picking one, Chris, because they're all so great, aren't they?
I love all of them. I hope they all stay into the end.
Me too, and it's looking more and more like that. Chris, thanks for coming to Sex.
I think all of them except for Ron Paul for me. I think if Ron Paul gets in, he would be a little bit dangerous.
He's not going to win, though. And just think about the debates. He'll just he'll retract entirely into that giant cartoon suit.
It'll look like a turtle. Turtle.
I think we should get rid of Social Security and Medicare and let sick kids die.
Oh, God, I can't decide. It's all cattywampus this year, which is what's not
your plan.
Great. Oh, by the way, speaking of Sexy Liberal, thanks to Joe the Nerd Ferraro, who wrote a great review of the Philly show on the HuffPost. Sexy Liberals do that. Thank you. Thank you, nerd. And here is my favorite news yesterday. Copycats. Guess who's doing a comedy tour? Glenn Beck.
Oh. Going to some of our same cities.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh.
And apparently, he says no one will be spared. Democrats, Republicans, lawmakers, yeah, because he's so fair and balanced, like he was on Fox.
Yeah, uh-huh. It's hilarious. And he's charging like $1 million or something for VIP tickets.
Let me tell you, little birdie told me.
What?
Well, I guess it goes without. Well, we're the number one comedy tour in the country.
Yes.
I'm just saying, Sexy Liberal is, I don't, you know, because there's no market for liberal thought of any kind. However, Glenn Beck, let's see, I'm looking. His VIP tickets are $500 a piece. He put a bunch of in Phoenix. He sold a grand total of looks like 16 tickets. In Raleigh, he put VIP tickets. He sold a grand 10 tickets.
Wow!
Did I mention we're sold out? And I think we have about a 350 waiting list in Phoenix, which we feel
sold out. Symphony Hall, which is not a small place.
Sold out the first place. It got too big. It had to go to Symphony Hall. Now that's sold out.
And how's his comedy album doing?
Okay. Oh, funny you should mention that. Another unsolicited testimonial to the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour Volume 1.
Oh, okay.
Now available in physical CD on sexyliberal.com and also as a download from Amazon and iTunes, number one. Just saying.
Congrats.
Thank you. Jane writes, thank you, Mom. I had a horrible day yesterday. Started with a water leak that flooded my kitchen. Ooh. The air conditioner repairman reformed me. The duct work in the main unit had to be replaced because of mold and mildew, which would require cutting a hole in my ceiling. My husband came home and told me our homeowners was being canceled because after 12 years, he just realized we live more than 5 miles from a fire station.
No.
Then he handed me the mail, and there was the package with my Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour CD that I'd ordered the minute you announced it was available. I put it in my CD player, put on my headphones, settled into a warm bubble bath with a glass of wine. Soon I was laughing out loud, feeling so much better. My husband heard me, thought I was having a nervous breakdown. You helped me keep my sanity every day, and yesterday you brought me back from the ledge. Love you lots, Jane.
Aww,
Jane, it was, thank you, but it was the wine. Trust me.
So if you're 5 miles from a fire station, you're screwed as far as your...
What's that mean for people who live in rural areas?
Yeah, that's not good.
No, I did not know that.
Anywhere where libertarians run the fire department.
Speaking of things that become wildly successful from the Stephanie Miller Show, Kenny Pick, our buddy Kenny from Cleveland.
Yep.
Steph, I want to thank you for being the first to play Putting on the Mitt last week. After being featured on your show, Putting on the Mitt, starting off on Randy Rhoads' show, hosted by Nicole Sandler filling in, then ended up on Political Carnival, Crooks and Liars, Republicans for Obama, and a few other blogs. There have been nearly 4,000 hits on YouTube.
Wow.
And 69 shares from your Facebook page alone. It's all
69.
Thanks again with big, sloppy, unshaven kisses, Kenny Pick. Why, thank
you,
Kenny.
If you're rich and out of touch with those poor folks that always seem to get pink slips, putting on the mitt. Come, let's mix where corporate banks pull their tricks in quiet rooms full of, putting on the mitt. a multi-million dollar politician.
Quack, quack.
Trying hard to look like a mortician. Magic underpants.
Thank you, Kenny Pick. Stacy also surfing the Santorum wave. Hello, Stacy.
Good morning, Mama.
Good morning.
I hate to kill your buzz, but yeah. I just want to make two observations. Mm-hmm. When he was making his speech last night and he kept saying, President Obama thinks he's smarter than you are, to me that was such dog whistle for the black man thinks he's smarter than you are.
Yeah, they found a million code words for uppity, haven't they, this year?
Yeah, they certainly have. And then the one thing that really, I know it's hard to pick, the most disturbing thing to me, Rick Santorum has a profoundly sick child.
I know.
You know, his. And how could anybody who has to rush his child to the hospital on a regular basis and whose child is not expected to live past the age of 20 want to deny health care to other people?
Well, I mean, Stacey, I think what's sad about it is, you know, Rick Santorum is obviously way above average means. You know, I mean, and a lot of people, that's the whole point with health care reform. A lot of people do not have access to those kind of options that have profoundly sick children like he does.
My mother was just spent 2 weeks in the hospital, including 5 days in ICU and 2 weeks in a convalescent hospital. If she didn't have Medicare, I would have to sell my home to pay that bill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Thanks so much. Great, great call. My friend Trisha sent me some. I just love Walmart stories. I don't know why.
No.
Woman caught making meth in Walmart.
What?
Tulsa, Oklahoma. And by the way, the picture always looks exactly what you think a person would look like that was making meth in the Tulsa, Oklahoma Walmart.
Oh, boy.
A woman has been arrested for attempting to make methamphetamine inside a Walmart store using chemicals she was too broke to buy. Trish says, it must be hard to get any help at Walmart. It took them 6 hours to notice her.
And from what I understand, making
meth... She was making meth for 6 hours
yeah,
at a Walmart?
Yeah, making meth smells.
What you doing? Need some help? No, just making my meth.
Oh, all right.
Oh
okay.
I mean, if you need anything.
I thought it was hard to get help in Home Depot, but
yeah.
Wow, that is really 6 hours.
You can get home.
I'm missing
yeah.
my last ingredient for my meth. Where do I, which aisle? all right, so we were talking about, this just cracks me up. This is how partisan we've gotten in America. So Clint Eastwood had the Super Bowl ad that everybody was talking about. That isn't that nonpartisan? Yay, America. Yay, car companies are back, you know.
Yep. Yay, American companies.
Yeah. And so Karl Rove, of course, got his giant panties in
yeah.
a twist.
He said he was offended.
Yeah, how can you be? What? Yeah, Clint Eastwood, setting the record straight about his improbably controversial Chrysler ad that aired at the Super Bowl. He dismissed suggestions he had as a partisan love letter to President Obama. He said, I'm certainly not. But he, again, was Republican when he was mayor of, what was it, Carmel, right?
Yeah.
He said, I'm certainly not politically affiliated with Mr. Obama. It was meant to be a message just about job growth and the spirit of America. And I think all politicians will agree with it.
Republicans hate that.
Yeah. Well, not in this America.
Not if you make the black guy look good.
All right, we have it, yeah.
It's halftime. Both teams are in their locker room discussing what they can do to win this game in the second half. It's halftime in America, too. People are out of work and they're hurting. And they're all wondering what they're going to do to make a comeback. And we're all scared because this isn't a game. The people of Detroit know a little something about this. They almost lost everything. But we all pulled together. Now Motor City is fighting again. I've seen a lot of tough eras, a lot of downturns in my life, times when we didn't understand each other. It seems that we've lost our heart at times. The fog of division, discord, and blame made it hard to see what lies ahead. But after those trials, we all rallied around what was right and acted as one. Because that's what we do. We find a way through tough times. If we can't find a way, then we'll make one. All that matters now is what's ahead. How do we come from behind? How do we come together? And how do we win? Detroit's showing us it can be done. And what's true about them is true about all of us. This country can't be knocked out with one punch. We get right back up again, and when we do, the world's going to hear the roar of our engines. Yeah, It's halftime, America. And our second half's about to begin.
I thought it was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
Republicans, shut up!
But you're talking about a party that cheered America losing the Olympics.
Yes.
Because it was going to be Chicago, the president's hometown.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And apparently Chicago, as you know, not in America anymore.
Nope.
What?
It's in Chicagoland.
Yes.
It's the capital of Chicago.
Yeah, Eastwood added he's not supporting any politician at this time, but he noted if Obama or any other politician wants to run with the spirit of the ad, go for it. I mean, it's like, what? So Karl Rove was the first one on TV saying, oh, this is a show of support for President Obama and the auto rescue. Well, you know what? You ought to support that, because it was a spectacular success.
Yep.
Damn it.
And the country...
Offended? Yeah. He declared himself offended. He said, it's a sign of what happens when you have Chicago-style politics.
What?
What? I was frankly offended. He said, I'm a huge... it's a sign of when you have Chicago-style politics. The president of the United States and his political minions are, in essence, using our tax dollars to buy corporate advertising. They had nothing to do with this.
No, they didn't.
And the best wishes of the management, which has benefited by getting a bunch of our money that they'll never pay back. They already have paid it back.
With interest,
pig.
Rove also suggests that Chrysler, etc. feel the need to do something to repay their political patrons. That is just, I mean, you just think there are things that you can't publicize, you know, you can't, and yet they do. It really is. Shouldn't Clint Eastwood be saying, Karl Rove, do you have 5 or 6 brain cells left? You feel lucky? Punk. All right. Anyway, thank you, Clint Eastwood. Great ad.
Yeah.
All right. Go America.
Yeah, thank
Yay.
You, Chrysler.
Yay. Been to Detroit. Yay, yeah. Detroit. Who can't wish well on Detroit, for God's sake?
It's a Mitt Romney.
Mitt
Romney was born in the Detroit suburbs.
Yeah.
I think he should go bankrupt.
Oh, God.
Hurry up these foreclosures.
Just All get right. out of your houses.
Get out, hobos.
These stinky hobos.
18 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. Oh, speaking of Super Bowl ads, we will have Representative Judy Chu, who has a little something to say about the Pete Hoekstra ad against Senator Debbie Stabenow, the one that had the Asian.
It was stupid, racist, and clumsy.
It was.
It was,
and yet he's doubling down on it. He is sticking with it.
Mm. It was obviously an Asian American woman who speaks perfect English.
Right.
But hey, ching-chong it up a bit, babe. Make it, come on.
That's what we need. We need the outtakes of Hoekstra on the side.
Yeah.
You know.
Ching-chong it up. Not Chinese enough. Come on.
Oh, have you seen
better than that?
Have you seen the website that it directs people to?
Mm-mm.
It's got like every Asian stereotype ever on it. You know, a fan here, a dragon there, a lantern here. It's come on.
Seriously, and that is saying something. But you know, stupidest, most racist, homophobic Republican Party ever this year. I think so.
Yep.
Ching chong it up.
All right.
Oh, boy.
Okay, Mary in New Mexico on the Clint Eastwood ad. Hello, Mary.
Buenos dias.
Hola, adios mio. Hola, ¿qué tal?
Muy, muy bien, gracias.
Uh-huh.
Hey, Albuquerque, March 31st. I've got front row tickets.
Woohoo! Those are going fast, by the way. Get your tickets for Albuquerque. Those are almost gone, so we'll see you there, Mary. Go ahead.
Excellent. I saw the Chrysler commercial, and it really literally stopped me dead in my tracks. I was so impressed by it. And, you know, Clint Eastwood has one of those really commanding voices, and it was like the pep talk that the coach gives you during halftime.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day, you've got this doughy, pudgy-faced turd blossom
pant load. This doughy pant load on Fox News,
You know, basically, you know, saying, you know, just pulling anything out of his buttocks that he can to try and politicize it. Now,
and isn't there a perfect example, Mary? They always have this, like, who cares, stupid, how these Hollywood celebrities think. Well, they cared when he was a Republican.
Right.
Like, now that they think this ad is partisan somehow, they're,
And you can't knock this nation down in one punch. But you know what? I bet if Rose stood in front of Clint Eastwood,
Exactly. By the way, what is that, Jim? Does he have a TMJ or his back teeth glued together? How do you?
How does he talk
my
without...
My jaw is so massive, I can't move it.
He's been that way his entire career.
It's left in my chin. It's holding it back.
I don't understand how you talk with your teeth. Just saying. I've just always been fascinated with
it. It works for him.
Yes, it does.
So I'm not judging.
All right. Mike in Phoenix agrees with the doughy pantload Carl Rove. Hello, Mike.
Well, I don't necessarily agree. The ad I have no problem with, but what I have a problem with is the bailout in the first place, and the reason for that is the companies were mismanaged, and they got the bailout. Ford wasn't mismanaged. Toyota, Honda, Mazda.
So, Mike, it would have been better to let an entire industry go under and all the down the supply chain. That would have been a better result than what's
pretty
happened.
Much let an entire city die.
It would not have went under, and that is an absolute economic fact. Those companies, those units, so many units of cars are sold a year. They would have either been picked up by Ford, Mazda, Toyota, Honda, Nissan.
Right, but, Mike, I don't get how it's productive to go back and go, this might have happened. What did happen is it was an unprecedented success. We rescued those companies. They paid us back with interest. They're number one in the world. Like, what? Why would you? I mean,
it's not the government's job. Private industry would have rescued those same companies.
Okay. All right. I could have, should have. And if, you know, if my aunt had she'd be my uncle. I don't, I mean.
And fire department should be voluntary.
Yeah. Well, if we would have shot Bin Laden in the left eye, that would have sent a better message to the terrorists.
None of the government's business trying to save the major industries of America.
That guy was calling from Arizona, which has no interest in the car industry. Had he been calling from the Midwest, had he been calling from the Midwest, he would have cared.
Who can't be happy for Detroit?
Those are his neighbors. If he owns a small business, a restaurant, say, that depends on people coming out of the factory to eat there, it would
have
been decimated.
Jobs.
We did Sexy Liberal in Detroit had a great time. Favorite actress friend of ours said, you know, I used to, when I had to cry in a movie, I'd think of Detroit. You know, because Marvin Gaye's song, like, what's going on? Oh. What's going on? So who can't be like, yay, Detroit?
Yay. Yay, American industry.
Yay, America. Yay, American cars. You know, what? I don't. How did that get
to be partisan? It's not the government's job to make sure America's working.
Really?
All right. Okay. All right. You know what? I love this story.
What?
You know what? The interweb's just not Republicans' friends this year between the Santorum. Senior Gingrich campaign officials scrubbed infidelity and ethics charges in the Tiffany credit line from Newt's Wikipedia page.
Huh. Right.
What was it, like one sentence long?
Yeah.
Newt Gingrich is a guy.
Newt Gingrich is a gargoyle who escaped Notre Dame.
Yes, other than that, no past at all. Oh, boy. All right, 29.
Yeah, they won't let me scrub the things off your page.
Yeah, hello. 29 minutes after the hour, Representative Judy Chu next.
I think you'll find that with
Stephanie Miller,
love and a true belief, all manner of miracles are possible.
Sure. It is the
Stephanie Miller. Waking up on time.
Shush. What? Here's a miracle. Kathleen Madigan live in studio with us tomorrow. Comedian extraordinaire. Yay. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Well, we were discussing the Pete Hoekstra Super Bowl ad against Senator Debbie Stabenow. And it's not often you have that, you know, springtime for Hitler moment. Like, nationwide, you just feel jaws drop and just, really?
Wow.
One of the people that had that same reaction is Representative Judy Chu of the great state of California. Good morning, Congresswoman. Thanks so much for taking time.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, really jaw-dropping was the term I would use, wouldn't you?
I was stunned when I saw this ad. It was so offensive.
Yeah, and there you are, probably with your family enjoying the Super Bowl, right?
Yes, exactly. And here comes this offensive ad which stereotypes Asians as the evil enemy, and where he has an Asian American woman put on a fake Chinese accent, gleefully saying that they're taking jobs away from Americans.
You know, it just seems like the politics of desperation to me. We've obviously been talking about the Republican primary that in certain places doesn't even seem like dog whistles in terms of racist code against the president. I mean, can you believe it's this bad in 2012?
Well, Hoekstra has definitely lowered himself into the gutter. He's so interested in getting votes that he's willing to use prejudice and stereotypes to accomplish his goals.
Well, and we were just talking about, of course, Senator Stabenow, you know, this the other controversy was about the Clint Eastwood ad. You know, she's obviously one of the, you know, key people responsible for the auto rescue, which saved an American industry, an American city. It's a huge American success, as Clint Eastwood was talking about. And, you know, even that they're going to politicize this year, right?
That's correct. Yeah.
We were saying that, sadly, too, this ad, there's not even a sense of common decency where he would apologize. No, it takes you to an even more racist website, and he's not backing down from it.
No, he's not. And what's worse is that he's running this commercial in Michigan. This is the same place where 30 years ago there was the murder of Vincent Chin by two unemployed auto workers who thought he was Japanese and blamed him for losing their jobs. They bashed him in the head with a baseball bat. And what was worse is that they were let off with only a $3,000 fine and no jail.
My God. What, you know, we also were playing, I think it was a Rush Limbaugh clip in Right Wing World Representative. It seems like, I mean, even numbers, math, these new job numbers in the economy, this is what they're left with, is they're saying they're somehow cooking the books. They don't believe the job numbers. I mean, how do you even respond to that?
Well, I would like to remind everybody that the reason that we're in the economic situation that we're in is because of George Bush's two wars, tax cuts for the wealthy, and letting Wall Street run amok. These are the real reasons, and it isn't the big specter of China that has caused us to get into this situation.
I thought it was startling yesterday, obviously, you and I out here from California, is that, you know, again, we have, as we're saying, I think in my memory, one of the most sort of sexist, racist, homophobic groups of Republican candidates, whether it's in the primary or not. And here we had a huge victory yesterday in the Prop 8 case being overturned in California. What was your reaction?
I was absolutely thrilled. It was a long time coming.
Yeah, I mean, I have to ask you, because you're, you know, obviously on the political track, too. There's also talk about getting it back on the ballot, you know, because obviously there's huge support now for marriage equality in California. How do you see those twin tracks playing out? I mean, what do you think is better? Because, you know, clearly the experts are saying they think this will likely go to the Supreme Court. What do you think is better?
I actually do think that the tide is changing, and it's really interesting to see how attitudes have shifted with regard to marriage equality. I'm not sure. I do think, however, that it is possible to change attitudes enough so that it could pass on a ballot.
Yeah, I mean, I do too, but, you know, I think what it is, I understand people have fear that what could happen at the Supreme Court, but certainly, you know, to me, the preferred outcome would be that, you know, this is the, you know, equal rights battle of our generation, and that the Supreme Court upholds what happens yesterday so that it is, a nationwide right, don't you think?
Yes, but anyway, I think it's important to go on two parallel tracks.
Right, right. Well, I mean, it just, like I say, it certainly is a great day. We're talking to Rob Reiner in a few minutes, who's, you know, been so instrumental in that out here in California. So it was both a good week and a bad week, right? for equal rights.
Yes. And I find it absolutely shameful that Mr. Hoekstra is not willing to apologize. But we're keeping up the pressure.
That's right.
There is a nationwide movement now of different Asian American groups as well as community groups that are demanding an apology.
Well, you know, and I have to say, with what just happened with Planned Parenthood, with what's happening in Wisconsin, I'm feeling more and more people are feeling empowered, you know, and that you can, that decent people can make a difference, right?
Absolutely. I think all these Wall Street movements have emboldened people and made them feel that the 99% has to speak out.
That's right. Absolutely. Well, we need more Representative Judy Chews of the great state of California. Thanks so much for your time. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. There she goes, Judy Chew. Yeah, anything to be a fly on the wall in the Chew living room during the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
The discussion was about the Hoekstra ad.
Yes.
All right. Dennis in South Carolina, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the Clint Eastwood ad. Hello, Dennis.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I particularly don't agree with the ad because I think it's using pretty much taxpayer dollars since Chrysler still owes $1.8 billion to the U.S. government.
But the ad wasn't filmed with taxpayer dollars. Chrysler bought the ad.
Yeah.
Right. and they still owe the taxpayer $1.8 billion.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do. But reason why
I don't believe so. I believe all the companies have paid back the auto rescue with interest.
Well, actually, that's exactly the reason why I called in.
All right, well, that's not important now.
Gloss over the facts.
No, listen, I got facts. That's what I want to
talk about. Oh, okay. Well, they may be incorrect, but okay.
Okay, this is from the U.S. Treasury. $14 billion is what the final cost is going to be for the GM and Chrysler bailout.
They've paid us back, Dennis.
No, there's going to be a $14 billion loss. Look it up. And that saves 130.
All right, we'll look that up right now because he's just like, well, that's not important now. Let's move on. Am I wrong, Chris? The last I've checked, the companies have paid us back with interest. That's why it's obviously been such a success story. Right, Clint Eastwood?
Okay. New York Times reports Chrysler said Tuesday that it's paid back $7.6 billion in loans from the American and Canadian governments.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm. All right. I got facts, though.
My facts is different.
That
from
came
your
from
facts.
May 26th of last year.
Once again, what is the famous line about you're entitled to your own opinion, not your own facts?
They still owe us $7.6 billion.
All right, 42 minutes after the hour, back with our buddy, our pal, Rob Reiner, on this historic day in California as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's not radio. It's Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Apparently he did.
And Rob Reiner seen it in person. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. 46 minutes after the hour, our buddy, our pal, our hero, Rob Reiner.
Hooray! Stephanie Miller, how are you?
Good morning, Rob Reiner.
How are you, Stephanie Miller?
Are you feeling, it's not the Santorum surge you're feeling, it's a wave of gay love coming your way.
I'm right here, situated here in the gay adjacent area of Brentwood.
What a great day, right?
No, this is a huge, huge step. I mean, this is, you know, that we feel like that we're hitting critical mass now, and the country is now starting to realize what we've always known, which is everybody's born equal in this country.
What?
And, but, I mean, you know, I said yesterday at the mayor's rally at City Hall that, you know, 100 years ago, women couldn't vote, and, you know, black people couldn't vote, and blacks and whites couldn't marry, and we look back on that as thinking that that's just ridiculous. We're going to look back on this time and say, you mean there was a time when two people who loved each other just because they happened to be of the same sex could not get married and could not express their love for each other in the way that everybody else does? We're going to look back and think of it as quaint. But right now, we're in the middle of it, but we've taken a huge, big step yesterday.
Yep. Oh, geez, there, meathead, huh?
Yeah. Meathead strikes again.
Yes.
You know, as Ted Olson, I saw, you know, again, making the case so eloquently on TV last night, as he's done, the President of the United States' parents, you know, wouldn't have been able to get married under, you know, the loving decision.
Right, and
which,
that was in 1967. That's that short a time ago.
Yeah, exactly. Why is it that you straight guys make the most eloquent case? What's the deal?
Well, you know, I think any kind of, this is a civil rights issue without question.
That's right.
And we're running the last leg of the civil rights race with this. So this is, the gay community is the only community in America that is regarded less under the law of its country and regarded as second-class citizens. So, you know, it takes everybody. I mean, the movement towards civil rights for African Americans, a lot of non-African Americans obviously helped, you know, push that over the top. I mean, we look to Lyndon Johnson. We look to a lot of people. It takes everybody to come together and realize that this is about all of us. This is about the promise of this country. The promise of this country is that we're all created equal. And so until that is realized, we all suffer from that.
Yeah. Rob, for those of you know who've just tuned in or around the country, explain, because a lot of people that, you know, they're kind of going, well, what does this mean now? Because there's been so many rulings as this goes on. Explain what happened. A federal appeals court yesterday declared California's same-sex marriage ban to be unconstitutional. So
that's correct.
By the three-judge panel of the Ninth Circuit.
That's right. And they upheld the lower court's ruling, the district court, the same ruling, that it was unconstitutional. They positioned their ruling in a very narrow way to say that in California, gays did have the right to marry. Those rights were taken away from them. They argued that you cannot take away rights that already existed. That goes against the 14th Amendment of the Constitution. And that's what they argued, that's what we argued, and that's what prevailed. So we feel that because it was a narrow ruling, the chances of the U.S. Supreme Court overturning this is almost, you know, unthinkable, impossible. I don't even think they might not even take the case.
You're talking about the Ninth Circuit, Rob?
I'm talking about the U.S. Supreme Court.
Oh, the Supreme Court. Okay.
Might not even take the case because the other side is going to definitely appeal this at some point to the U.S. Supreme Court if they have to. And I think the U.S. Supreme Court already ruled in a similar case in Colorado where rights, not marriage rights, but other gay rights were taken away from citizens in Colorado. And the Supreme Court ruled very clearly that you cannot. That's a 14th Amendment. You're targeting a minority group and you're taking away their rights. You cannot do that. So I think we will prevail. At a minimum, it will take some time. It'll probably be within the next year. We will have full gay rights in California.
Wow.
So between California and New York and the other states, it's going to be about a fourth of the country after this.
Just for those of us that aren't, are you saying that you think they're going to appeal to either the full Ninth Circuit or go right to the Supreme Court? Or?
They'll do either of those things. They have the right to go and appeal to the full Ninth Circuit on what they call en banc, which would mean more than just a three-judge panel. The chances of that, we don't know whether or not the Ninth Circuit will take it because they're going to say, well, we've already adjudicated this, we may not take it. They may decide, the other side may decide, they may want to go directly to the U.S. Supreme Court on this. So we have to wait. They have within 14 days to make a decision as to whether or not they want to appeal this to the Ninth Circuit, and they have 90 days to decide whether or not they want to appeal this to the U.S. Supreme Court.
Well, that's why, you know, I'm reading an analysis right now, it says more than any single vote, more than any single veto, more than any single legislative majority, the Ninth Circuit's decision in Perry versus Brown is the most significant advancement in the fight for marriage equality in American history to date. That's why yesterday is such a big deal.
Yes.
Because in that sense, people keep saying, oh, this is such a narrow decision, but it's actually not, is it? It's both narrow and wide.
Well, it is. It is in the fact that an eighth of the country will be afforded the right to get married. It didn't approach the bigger question whether or not there is a constitutional right for gays to get married, period. And that will be something that we'll have to, we may have to launch another case someplace else where rights have not been taken away. This is a case where rights were taken away from a group of people. You can't do that.
Rob, there's obviously talk about getting signatures and putting it back on the ballot. What is your take on that?
Because obviously that's absolute foolishness. I mean, fine, let the people, that's a total waste of money for the people who want to do it, and there's no chance. When a federal court has already ruled that it's unconstitutional to take away rights according to the 14th Amendment, there's no way. I don't think that'll even pass constitutional muster. Couldn't even make it to the ballot.
Rob, that was exactly my first instinct, not knowing as much as you do, but I thought, isn't that our whole point, is you're not supposed to put minority rights to a majority vote? Like, yes, we would win now because there's majority support, you know, in California,
right. That's a fool's errand on their part, and I believe in the cold light of day that won't see any kind of reality.
So, Rob, your prediction then is exactly what? I'm a little confused between the full Ninth Circuit and the Supreme Court and what you think will happen next and when. Just take us through that again.
Well, you know, like I say, they have 14 days to file a petition to the full Ninth Circuit to try to overturn this ruling.
Okay.
They also have 90 days to file a petition to the U.S. Supreme Court to overrule this ruling. That's up to them to decide what they'll do. So we have to watch and see what they decide in the next couple of weeks. If they don't file that petition, then the instinct is that they will go to the full U.S. They'll go to the U.S. Supreme Court.
And Rob, you are not, because I know some people have expressed nervousness about the Supreme Court and saying it hinges on Kennedy and all that. What is your take on that? Are you nervous?
No, we're not nervous because we believe that we have the votes there in the Supreme Court. They've already ruled in two cases. The one case I cited, the Romer case in Colorado, they've ruled in favor favor of gay rights. Also in Lawrence v. Texas, they ruled in favor of gay rights. So we believe that, you know, they've ruled that there is a fundamental right to marriage in the Constitution. They've ruled 14 times on that. And I believe that they will, at the end of the day, will say that there is not a class of citizen that is not allowed those rights. So I believe we will win in the Supreme Court if the bigger question comes up. In this case, the bigger question has not been raised.
So now, if the Supreme Court rules in favor, then, I mean, there is marriage equality in the entire U.S., is that correct?
No. If the Supreme Court rules in oppose the Ninth Circuit's ruling, it just is narrowly focused to California.
Yeah, but I agree with you. I think, you know, we were in the civil rights battle of our generation, and you start to feel that, don't you, when you've been talking politics long enough?
There's too much.
There's
no question about it. This is the last leg of that civil rights race, and we're running it right now.
Yeah, and you know, as you know, I mean, you know, there is support, a majority support for marriage equality in the country now. So,
yes,
I mean,
there's majority support, and that majority is growing. And Ted Olson made a very interesting point. He said, the longer we adjudicate these issues and the more we have an opportunity to educate people about what we're doing, the more people start to realize this is the right thing to do. This does not damage society. This does not damage heterosexual marriages. This does not impinge on people's religious freedoms. In no way does this have any kind of deleterious effect. And the more we talk to people and educate them, the more those poll numbers start to build.
That's right. You know, if only we weren't up against such a strong field on the Republican side for president.
Oh my God, this is like astounding. I mean, they're holding. Everybody's holding their nose on that side. They're voting and holding and nosing and holding and voting.
And doesn't it show you again, like how out of step they are? Of course, every single one of them came out, criticizing the ruling in California yesterday.
Right, of course they did. Yeah. Of course they did, because they're trying to win a Republican primary. But at the end of the day, and I think you'll even find Barack Obama at some point, politically, it's going to be the right move politically to be on our side on this issue.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess the big question is, I'll be having the wedding at your house whenever we get this together, right?
Are you announcing something?
I'm just, you know, you could just give a lot nicer one is all I'm saying. You know, been to your house.
By the way, you know, I know I don't get paid to be on the show, but maybe on Valentine's Day you could send me a box of those Sherry's berries.
Oh, yeah. You know what? We have some for you right now, Rebecca, because I know you can't afford them. We'll get to Rebecca to give you some. Just stay on hold. I'm not kidding. I've got berries for you.
They're huge. I want to see how big they are.
They're
huge.
Okay.
Huge berries.
They're as big
That's
as your.
What I've got huge berries.
As big as your courage and, you know, your manhood. You know what I'm saying, Rob Reiner?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, you're my hero. All right.
Thank you, Stephanie.
And thanks for doing Sexy Liberal in L.A. You were the sexiest liberal ever.
It's the most fun show. It's so much fun. It's so many laughs. Hal Sparks, John Fugelsang, you are unbelievable.
Thank you.
And anybody who is thinking about coming, they should go because they're going to have a great time.
Well, thanks for being our special guest. We always like to give a kid in Hollywood a break.
Thank you, Stephanie.
We got some free berries. Sorry to spoil the surprise for Michelle, who's probably listening. All right. I love you, Rob Reiner.
I love you, Stephanie Miller.
Okay.
He thinks you're kidding. We're sending him some berries.
I put him on hold. I'm like, all right, fine. Okay. He may have a hard time scraping together the case.
Yeah.
Okay. That's it for us today. Kathleen Madigan was one of our personal favorites.
And Carl Frisch.
Funny.
Oh. Yep.
And Carl Frisch tomorrow. And I'll be here the whole show, which is new.
We'll see about that. You say you're going to be here the whole show every day.
You know what? I'm just going to be saving and asleep here. So, all right.
We'll roll out the cot.
I'd like to thank my full-time employees, Chris LaVoy, Jim Ward, and Rebecca Taylor. We'll see you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.